Hi, I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. Coats are such a personal choice, aren't they? And M&S, who are the sponsors of this podcast, have something for everyone. Me? I go for a trench coat when I want to look professional and a puffer day to day. There's no chance of me getting chilly on my commute or standing at the playground. I've also discovered in researching this that M&S makes something called a car coat, which may well be something I need to add to my collection. Today, I am joined by Sophie Tate, who is a mother of two and the creator of a brilliant website called Trash Plastic, which is a guide to the most sustainable plastic-free products, services and resources. It's really very good. I recommend checking it out. And also newly full-time employee of Extinction Rebellion. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
But we'll get onto that in a moment. We're going to start with something a little bit more lighthearted. So the name of the game or the name of this podcast is Honestly. And so I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions.
I think I'm dreading this bit most.
Are you really?
Maybe.
Okay, well, let's get it over with. Always the best way. On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you?
4.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how nice are you?
6.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong are you?
9.
Night owl or early bird?
Night owl.
Dog or cat person?
We've got cats, but they're driving us nuts. So actually, I think we'd rather have dogs these days. But don't tell them.
An ex-cat person?
Yeah.
Why are they driving you nuts?
They keep peeing on stuff. Peeing on stuff and eating animals in the garden. Mm-hmm.
Being cats.
Yeah.
Introvert or extrovert?
Somewhere between the two. Depends on the day.
So I've newly learned about being an introvert, extrovert. Basically, I do extrovert things, but to reconcile that, I have to have a lot of time on my own.
Yeah.
That it doesn't, it doesn't energise me to be extrovert, even though my behaviour is that way.
I think I'm the same. And I think I come across as more extrovert than I am.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. What star sign are you?
Pisces.
Same. Do you know what? People don't care about star signs possibly, but I do. And I've had an unbelievable amount of Pisces on here, given that I'm a Pisces. When did you last cry?
I think something makes me cry pretty much every day at the moment.
Oh no, that speaks volumes.
Not always in a bad way. I think I get moved by something pretty much every day.
So you feel like you're a Pisces, you're emotionally highly strung. When did you last weigh yourself?
A week ago.
When did you last go to the dentist?
This is awful. 5 years ago.
Oh, you know what? This is a question that is really triggering to people. And I don't know what it says. Is it self-care or is it the fear of it or that you don't find time? But loads of adults who go to the dentist.
We used to live in the States. And so when we were there, it became like a really important thing. And I went all the time.
Like how often do you go when you're...
Every 3 months, like religiously. And since we got back, I just haven't found a new one and just haven't been. Like I take my kids.
You do go and it's not a nice experience and it's expensive. Anyway, it's not the point of the podcast, but I just...
There's a note to self in there. Yeah, there is. Make a dentist appointment.
Have you ever wet yourself as an adult?
There's been close shaves.
Yeah, you've got twins, haven't you?
I've got twins. I've got twins. There's close shaves.
How did you do in your GCSEs and has it impacted your life?
I got 4 A's, 2 B's and a C.
Oh, you didn't remember that, but... Have people asked you about your GCSE since between that date, how many years ago?
No, because I did quite well. I think I've always put them down on things, even though people are probably really...
I want to talk about my GCSEs. Where are you happiest?
Close to the sea and or just in nature.
What are you most afraid of?
Oh, what we're going to be talking about, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. Biggest regret?
Not working harder at my degree.
Really? What was your degree?
Graphic design. I started off doing fine art and I switched and, I didn't really appreciate how lucky I was
to do it. Yeah, that's like a gift, isn't it? 3 words your friends would use to describe you.
Direct. I interrupt too much. So whatever that word would be. And probably principled. something quite worthy like that, I expect.
That's all right. And do you feel okay about that description?
I think I'd like to be a bit more fun. There's not much fun in that.
There you go. Note to self, go to the dentist and have more fun.
Yeah.
So the reason I've asked you here is to speak about a big topic in an honest and open fashion. I'm trying to work out the exact title, like environmentalism, climate change, either way. So Sophie's going to be awkward about me doing this, but I'm going to say it. We met in a fairly awkward fashion, and we haven't only just met for reals in a minute ago, but Sophie rightly sent me a fairly pokey DM, which said, "You don't care about the environment, do you?" or something to that effect. And I'll be honest, my initial reaction to that was two things. A, I can't be seen to bang the drum for all issues because, you know, I talk about a lot of things, body image, mental health. And B, I do enough. And as those thoughts came through my head, I then realised that is both those things are exactly the problem. And so, although that was a very difficult conversation, it was on a Friday night as well, it was like 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh God, am I in the place for this conversation? But it turned out for me to be a hugely beneficial interaction.
Yeah, and actually, to be completely fair to you, it was quite a punchy approach. I'm aware of that. And the kind of the conversation that followed from that, you really quickly, and I think I thought it was a really impressive thing, accepted that you were wrong and that you weren't doing enough. And I was amazed because most people just get really defensive. They either get really defensive or they just quite rightly tell me to fuck off or just ignore it. And you did none of those things. So I was quite humbled and a bit embarrassed for taking on in that.
Oh, no. And then the double edge of that is I didn't know who Sophie was. And then it transpired I actually know Sophie's husband. But yeah, it was really important for me because I felt that I was doing okay. And categorically, and it's not asking for praise, but I consciously stepped up, and I haven't stepped up in enough ways, but I'm making an effort to do so. But let's talk about your journey and first of all about how trash plastic started.
So it's funny, like if I haven't actually outed exactly where and how trash plastic started, because if I'm honest, I'm a bit embarrassed. Because actually it was from a position of like such ridiculous privilege because we were on holiday in the Maldives at a ridiculous place that we had been to 2 years before. And the first time we were there, I'd had this kind of, I guess the only way I can describe it is like a near religious experience up close and personal with a coral reef, like utterly
just blown away,
just totally blown away. Like I couldn't quite grasp how this amazing thing could even exist. And when we went back, which was the end of 2017. In between that time, in 2016, and I hadn't known about this, so I'd sort of known about it, but just not really absorbed what it meant. There'd been a catastrophic coral bleaching event, which is basically where an underwater heat wave pretty much overnight destroys a coral reef, kills it. And so we'd gone back to this place and I'd gone back in the water and I just couldn't quite understand what I was seeing because it just felt like some sort of post-apocalyptic graveyard. And I couldn't get my head around it. And I remember sort of coming out of the water, like genuinely shell-shocked and genuinely in this kind of weird feeling of grief, I suppose. And it's the first time I sort of really joined any dots.
Well, it's like literally a before and after, which we're not usually seeing it in such stark terms, are we?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, that coupled with the fact that we were in the Maldives, which is right on the front line of the climate crisis in terms of being low-lying islands, there were just a whole load of things that just suddenly made me go, fucking hell, like, as humans, our impact is, I mean, it's visible and it's here, it's now, and it's horrendous. It's absolutely terrifying. And so we came back, and the timing was, so Blue Planet had been on TV, and people were beginning to speak about all of that stuff. And I guess the plastic thing, for me, was just a really easy first step, because it felt tangible and visible. Like, if I stood in my kitchen, in terms of that, what should I do next? What should I do about what I've seen? Like some of the stuff around the bigger climate stories and problems it's really hard to get your head around. It's really hard to understand anything to do with the carbon conversation. And so plastic for me was just a gateway drug. It was just a really easy way in to start making some small changes. And, you know, those small changes just escalated really, really fast, much faster than I imagined.
You made it quite a graphic thing for yourself there as well, didn't you? And didn't you aim to do 80%? No, you collected all the plastic you'd used Over what kind of time?
A week. So it was a week, and we kept absolutely everything. So things from out of the house, things in the house, and just kind of stashed it in the corner of the kitchen. So I washed it, stashed it, and then at the end of the week, sort of tipped it out on the kitchen floor. And I genuinely thought we were quite good. Like, we'd already stopped doing things. Like, I didn't buy takeaway coffee cups. So we were sort of doing baby step things. But there was just so much of it. There was so much of it. And so I just sort of stood there and had a little bit of a cry, had a bit of a rummage, tried to figure
out where
it was
coming from. Because your feelings were being of what? Feeling guilty, complicit, or?
I think all of those things. And also just a bit overwhelmed, just not really knowing where to start.
How quickly was that? That was quite quickly after going to Maldives and the Bacardi.
So that was kind of just before Christmas. And I think it was sort of a New Year's thing. So I think literally kind of January the 1st, saved all the plastic and made that a commitment. And I, you know, 80% was like an arbitrary figure. I just looked at it and I just sort of had a sense of how much less I wanted to see. Yes. So, okay, if there was 20% of that there, would I feel okay about that? And I sort of decided that, yeah, I might. You see people that do these things where they only have a, you know, jam jar full of trash for a whole month or whatever. And that's just, I mean, that's not me. I couldn't. And I even now still can't do that.
No, and I think what I loved about trash plastic is this normalizing thing, because of course there's a end goal where we should all be. But if we're all told to shift at that immediately, that feels impossible. But yeah. I love, Sophie also wrote a post for Mother of All Lists, and it's a quote, can't think who said it, hopefully you'll remember, do the best you can until you know better.
Maya Angelou.
Yeah, who always says the right things. Oh. Then when you know better, do better. And I think for me, that was a real, thing about trash plastic, it's like this entry level thing. So for me, I've shifted to moon cups, and you do that and you normalize that. Because if I shifted to moon cups and then gave up this and then it's suddenly too much, but you do one, you go, okay, that doesn't feel that much of a change, but it's something. And then you do the next thing and then you.
And there's also a thing, I think, also about the wrong thing to do is just to go out and try and rebuy everything that you own in a plastic free version, because there's a massively self-defeating thing within that, but there's a tendency to do it. You know, I like shopping, so naturally there was a bit of me that was like, oh look, I can come, there's a whole load of new retail opportunities. And you have to kind of go, no, wait, got to do it slowly, thing by thing.
If you're talking to someone about it, what are the first steps to making a change, or do you try and present the enormity of the situation to them?
So I've kind of quite quickly shifted. So actually, if someone talks to me about plastic, I find myself going, like, I've gone and interviewed a few people for the website, and they've been kind of companies and things that are doing stuff within plastic. And even they've kind of gone, you're not really interested in talking about plastic anymore, are you? And I, of course, I totally am. And plastic is an absolutely monumental environmental catastrophe. But without a doubt, I've kind of quite quickly segued into the wider
thing,
climate thing. In terms of what I would say to someone, I think it's about people need to kind of face up to it, I think. I think wherever they are, there's a bit of truth that needs to be accepted. I think particularly as parents, like, we have a responsibility to our kids to properly understand and engage with what's going on. Like, I can't move for stuff about this subject. Like, the algorithms that serve me up stuff, I only get to see that kind of stuff. And I'm aware that because of the job I do, that I'm really long way down the rabbit hole. And I'm amazed when people don't seem to know anything.
So to, backtrack, you now work full-time through Extinction Rebellion.
I do.
Yeah. And their language, you know, I spent a lot of time on their site in the last couple of days, and they refer to it as an emergency. And that is the place where we're at. And it's that real shift from thinking that climate change is about obscure weather patterns and changes of weather. It's about all of us and the earth being at risk.
Yeah. The biggest thing, I think, is in understanding that we're already in a climate and ecological emergency. Like, that isn't a future thing.
We're there now.
That is now. And in terms of the global south, the impacts are being felt right now. Like, hundreds of thousands of people are already dying. And that's the bit that I don't think anyone's quite grasping. And, you know, we talk a lot about the 11 years that we now have. So the IPCC report that came out last year at the back end of October that talked about us having 12 years at that point to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. And I think what people take out of that is that we've got 11 years to work out what we're going to do. And we haven't. We've got 11 years to have fixed it, yeah. to have done it. So, yeah, I mean, the science is there. It's unequivocal. And it has to be acted on right now.
Yeah. And do you think, because I'm listening to you now, and what happens is you go, this is so big that the easiest way to cope is to bury your head, right? And as we were saying with the before and after, I walk out the door now, and yes, there are things that have definitely changed, but there's very rarely something where you see it so starkly. We need to we need to have it put in our faces. This is a complete aside, but we both live in Southeast London, and I went to the Horniman Museum at the weekend, and their really famous aquarium, they filled it with plastic.
Have a wow.
So the jellyfish, which is like one of the iconic things, you walk in and you're presented with this beautiful wall of jellyfish. They've taken all the jellyfish out and replaced them with plastic bags. And it is the, for me, it literally stopped me in my
tracks.
That's amazing. Yeah. And all those, each section is now filled with plastic. And it is just like, this is it. This is a very, very visual way of seeing what we're faced with.
Yeah.
And that is it. Sometimes you need it smacked in your face like that for it to hit home.
Totally. And I think that's what's difficult. So I hate the thought that people need to have a personal experience with this before they're going to act, because that probably means they've had to confront something really difficult. Mm. But if you talk to the people who had to be evacuated from their homes in Lincolnshire, like, they will probably be thinking in very real terms about the impacts of this. So I think my thing is that the first thing people need to do is to understand. And I get there is absolutely zero fun in having to face this stuff.
No.
My first proper thing with it is I watched a talk that was on the Extinction Rebellion website. It's not there anymore. But I watched that in my kitchen on my own, and I literally made sounds that I couldn't replicate if I tried.
Horror.
Yeah, I made weird animalistic sounds in my kitchen as I watched it. And it was literally at that moment I went, okay, right, that's it. That's it.
This is the now.
This year.
I think I was led there through a year, but a really great thing for everyone to do is to go on the WWF carbon footprint measure, which is like a calculator. It's a quiz. Everyone likes a quiz. And I did it. And first of all, I was taken aback in a good way about the breadth of questions they ask you. You know, do you have a pet? What does the pet eat? Because we are aware of things like the transport that we take, but it's going down to that minutia, and that feeling in your gut that when, I'm very goals orientated, when you're failing at something, to have that confronted. So I really think that is, if you need something almost tangible to work from, start with that. Here's something I've learned as an adult. It's best to get your winter coat early in the season. That way you maximise your cost per use. And definitely check out our partners M&S for their functional and contemporary outerwear that will keep you warm all winter and for many winters afterwards too.
So I feel quite strongly about the fact that this isn't about making... people shouldn't start feeling massively guilty. Like, we do live in a system that's made all of this really difficult, and I think the blame is there. But I also think where we have responsibility to act quite quickly, I suppose, is to just start thinking about less. So I talk quite a lot, like less is a word I feel like I say all the time. But like with the flying thing, bullshit weekends in Barcelona, we can all live without.
Get a train
those.
To France.
Get a train to France. Like, do the flights that really matter. Mm. So if you're going to fly, make sure you're doing something really good and you're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, you can quickly call into question every single item of plastic in your house. And then I'm like, I was looking at a Lego brick and I was like, no, Lego's great. It's not single use.
Totally.
We've got some which is from when we were kids and it's been handed down, and that is so much better than something, you know, its shelf life is
absolutely
really long loads of joy. It's being conscious and trying to get some positive habits, I suppose.
Without a doubt. Like, I think kind of making baby steps, but I think accepting that baby steps have to lead to giant leaps.
Yes.
Like, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, well, I recycle, and it's like, it's just not enough anymore. Like, we have to all do more. But I think the biggest thing, and I know that this is my work hat in a way, I think the biggest thing we have to do is make our voices heard about all of this. Because, the you know, things won't change. If we all make lots of little individual changes, it's just not, it's not going to be enough. Well, like, yeah, it has to be at a policy level that things shift. Has to be.
So in terms of your daily life now, in terms of working for Extinction Rebellion, is there an office? Do you go? Does it structure like quite like any other?
So it's something called a self-organising structure. So it is a flat hierarchy. People work in teams who have assigned roles and responsibilities, and people report into other circles to make sure we're all kind of understanding what each other's doing. The first week, I don't have ever been as overwhelmed by an organisation or anything, really. I couldn't even actually find words to describe the experience of it. And that's after working pretty mental ad land for a long time. It works at a pace that I've not seen before. It's filled with people that are so driven. It's incredibly humbling. Like, no one gets paid. So these are volunteers. Everyone's a volunteer. People have given up really big jobs in all sorts of sectors and are burning through savings. They're sleeping on sofas. They are making like pretty enormous sacrifices actually to work there. And that, even that, it was something that I kind of took a little while to get my head around.
But then how do you, I guess a deeply personal level, you know, all of us, unless you're doing something like that or a doctor, you can have boundaries because you go, it is work, right? This is where the work is, and this is where the life is.
Yeah.
For doing something with so purpose driven, when does it stop? And there is no flippant meeting, or there is no irrelevant email, or there is no, you know, that's hard to continue that.
Yeah, there's definitely like burnout is definitely an issue. And, you know, I've definitely understood that there are some people that are finding that hard and people need to take time out. And there's a big thing about making sure that people take time out to kind of regroup. My thing is, I need to get a bat phone. I have got to have a separate phone. Like, there has to be a way for me, I think, to be able to switch off from that. Even in part, like, I've totally neglected trash plastic. Has just been mothballed since I started this, because you do get into a point where you're like, I'm involved with this thing and sort of nothing else matters, and actually other things do matter. And I'm aware that my children have been at home while I've been completely plugged into work
stuff.
Yeah,
and you're trying to save the planet for them. But
yeah, and actually, I'm trying to look after their future, but I've also got to be really mindful of their present. And also, but you know, I have a job in terms of protecting them from...
Yeah, so this. How much are they aware of...
So they are... So the plastic thing, again, was really easy. Like, plastic is such a good proxy for environmental stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think children really latch onto that because they can actually see how they can actively make a difference. So my kids have done lots with that. Like, one of them's presented to her whole school and been in and presented at another school. So they've been really engaged with that side of things. With the bigger stuff, they're at a tricky age. So they are 9 and they're just at that point where they are cognitively really becoming aware of the wider world, but not really old enough to kind of process it all. So they came with me to one of the school strikes, and I think it was quite overwhelming, and I think it was quite difficult, because if you're surrounded by all these placards that sort of talking about the fact that we're doomed, then that's really hard.
Yeah.
So actually, I have sort of made a decision to kind of protect them from some of that now. So they're really aware of what I do. They have got a bit of a thing at the moment that their way of not doing something is to use the Extinction Rebellion line about rebel for life.
Oh, no. So whenever literally a rod for your own back there.
Yeah. I mean, one of them walking around the other day with her, she'll really hate that I'm saying this, with her undies around her ankles, arms in the air, just going, rebel for life, rebel for life. It's like, oh, man.
Where do you go?
Yeah.
And how about... Again, how people are treating you. Do you get to a point where people avoid talking to you about it, or the only thing they want to talk about? Or
probably. I think I've been unfollowed by pretty much everyone I know on Facebook.
Like, do you push a lot of it out on your personal?
Yeah, I did sort of didn't used to. So I either feel like I ignore things like Facebook completely, or I suddenly come back in and I do share stuff. And I wrote a thing yesterday saying, I'm sort of not sharing stuff to try and scare people, and I'm not sharing stuff to try and make anyone feel despair or panic. I think what I want people to do is be really fucking angry Like, I want people to be furious that this is happening and that it's continuing to happen, and the enablers within that, so the lobbyists and the fossil fuel giants and however else you want to look at it, like the political landscape is all allowing this to continue. And I want people to go, this is outrageous.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable for people, isn't it?
Totally, without a doubt. And people don't know quite what to do with it.
But again, on a personal level, do you go to bed feeling angry and frustrated and scared, or do you?
Sometimes. I had a phase where I was dreaming about it every night.
Yeah, which
and
is...
that wasn't good. I was having really not good dreams. And actually, being part of Extinction Rebellion has really helped that. Like, being around people all day.
You've got the channel for it.
Yeah. And not having to explain it. So I'd had a conversation with a school mum one lunchtime, and she sort of said, do you think you've got depression? And because you've got depression, that's why you're worrying about this.
Oh, wow.
And that something in that just riled me to going, right, okay, I can't do this. I have to go and be around people that I don't have to explain myself with anymore. And I literally left that lunch and went home and emailed Extinction Rebellion and said, this is what I'm good at. What can I do to help? So, I mean, it's definitely difficult. And I do sometimes feel like I'm existing in a parallel universe where I hear people talking about, I don't know, all the stuff that they're buying or doing or whatever. The intensity of our lives makes it really difficult to stop and really think about anything.
So I'm going to take a little interlude to tell you what the people on the internet are saying. So I asked people out of 10 how worried they were about the environment, and probably not surprisingly, or the majority were around 10, or some of them even broke the rules and were rebels and said they were 100 worried. But I did get the occasional person that said they were, you know, there were only 3 or 4 out of 10 worried. And it's just an interesting thing to pull out, really, like where that comes from. And these are open-ended questions. I don't want you to have to answer them. But is that an act of rebellion in itself, or is it because they don't know? And also, I find that really surprising.
I think there's, you know, some of those people might have massive things going on in their lives.
So it can't be on their agenda.
Yeah. And I think there's privilege in the fact that I have the time to be worrying about this. It's a privilege that I can go and work for Extinction Rebellion and not be having to worry about the fact that I don't get paid any more than my expenses. You know, if I was really worrying about a sick child right now, I wouldn't be doing this. You know, I think there's also other people that, you know, people have other reasons for wanting to maintain that business as usual thing. Like, some of those people might be working in jobs that rely on us not starting to worry about this stuff. And I think some people just don't know. A lot of people just don't know yet, which is part of what my day job's about.
Yeah, that is, I think this is it. So 95% said they were worried, but 85% said they didn't feel they were doing as much as they could for the environment. And also only 35% felt that they were well informed about it.
Yeah.
So therein lies the problem. And then I asked them to share any questions they had, and as expected, but good to have it pulled out. What about the big corporations? It's that overwhelming feeling of, we can all try and do our bit, but the giants are erasing any good that we do. Should we ultimately all become vegan? Where do I go to learn about the truths from the facts? And also, what about flying? Covered a lot of that. But yeah, the big corporations, how do we have a voice against them?
It's interesting because there's a sort of a pincer movement, I think. So it's been really interesting this last year. If you do look at the plastics thing, it's been really quick how corporations have started to respond to that stuff. So it sort of feels like you need this pincer movement of consumers starting to show that they are willing to consume in a different kind of way or behave in a different kind of way, which makes it financially attractive to a business to want to do it. And you also need legislation to make them shift in that direction. So within the plastic stuff, there is legislation that is coming, and that is going to force some not big enough shifts, but some shifts indeed. Within the other stuff, it's really complicated.
Are you vegan?
I am vegan. I'm a walking cliche in many ways. I'm vegan initially for animal reasons. So I've been vegetarian since I was 16 and then shifted to being vegan about 3-4 years ago. And that was primarily
Are your children vegan?
They're vegetarian. Apart from when school give them fish on a Friday.
Fish and chips?
Yeah.
Do all schools do that?
It's a bit of an ongoing battle. I don't think that everyone needs to be vegan. I think that everyone needs to eat significantly
less meat. And think about the dairy they're consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, it's that thing, isn't it? Not baby steps aren't enough, but at the same point, if you say to someone, don't eat meat during the week, that feels so much easier than saying you must become vegan. And actually, from my own experience, we're not vegetarian or vegan, but we are meat avoiders.
Yeah.
But I do eat meat. It's funny how small habits do grow.
Yeah, and I think you start to realise... So vegan's a really tricky word because it implies this kind of militancy and perfection. And, you know, I've still got leather trainers that I still wear and I'm not going to throw them away. But, you know, a staunch vegan would criticise me for still wearing those. But it, again, it's about... I think it's about doing what's right for you and what you can do and within those limits and not feeling terribly guilty about everything.
So that this feels like unrelated, but it is related. I'm reading Sober Curious at the moment, which is a brilliant book. They talk about in relation to sobriety that you don't need to say you're sober. You say I'm not drinking, because if you go to the extreme, you can only fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you just say I'm not drinking every single action, you've achieved that. And actually, my sister's vegan and she's got to the point that she was talking actually in relation to Extinction Rebellion, but she doesn't tell people that because people absolutely want to pick holes in it, whereas if you say I'm trying actively to avoid animal products, then you're winning. And it's a shame, isn't it, human nature, that we want to pull people apart. And then how do you separate the truth from the facts? Like, what are, I guess you can't answer that in a finite way, but what would be good resources for people who are wanting to learn more and educate themselves better?
The Extinction Rebellion website.
There's
a section on there called The Truth, and that breaks down all the different issues, because it's not just about climate change, it's about biodiversity. So it's a climate and ecological emergency. So they're all kind of peer-reviewed, proper bits of science. Or you could go to one of Extinction Rebellion's talks. They're also very good. They do them frequently in lots of places. Again, the website.
Yeah, and I learnt myself that Extinction Rebellion is actually 180 different groups, isn't it?
And growing all the time, yeah. So it's a decentralised thing. So anyone can set up an Extinction Rebellion local group or an affinity group. You just have to agree.
Is it just UK at the moment?
Or? No, it's international. You just have to agree to support the three main demands and that you work with the same set of values, and then you can do your thing.
And this feels like we're winding up towards the end, but what are the things we can all do today? And I guess educating yourself is a...
Yeah, I think making your voice heard. So voting in the right way. So scrutinise anyone you're going to vote for in terms of what their climate policies are, because like Brexit is bullshit. Like, it just isn't important in the grand scheme of things. And I think we need to make our voices heard. So I think we need to properly stand up for what we believe we want for our children's futures. And then in terms of personal actions, I just think it's about less. So I just think...
Yeah, in your post for Mother All Ish, she's put, the uncomfortable truth is the relentless pursuit of more is what's driving the bus.
Totally, yeah. And the weird thing about that less thing is I feel so liberated by living in this way. It literally feels like an enormous weight's been lifted off my shoulders to just not really be giving a shit about buying things. It just feels lighter.
Really free.
Yeah.
I worked with a makeup artist the other day and she just had set a rule for herself that she's not going to buy any new clothes. And then you're like, oh, wow. But then she's like, but I buy vintage, obviously eBay, a small account that I follow called One Scoop Shop, Depop, Car Boots. There's a brilliant new car boot in Peckham. So it's not that, like, it's okay to want stuff, but you don't, if you don't buy it new, then at least it's a great step, isn't it?
And even if you do buy it new, again, it's about buy something you really love, like buy less and buy better, which is a much nicer thing to do
and
than
checking
buying
your own behaviour in yourself, as we've touched on earlier. But, you know, oh, I've got an event, I need something new for that, and just go, you don't.
I really don't.
No.
Yeah.
Yes, when your kids have gone through their school shoes, yes, they need new shoes. But yeah, that thing of appearances, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know whether you follow Venetia Faulkner and her kind of hashtag of OOTD, that old outfit of the day thing, which is just lovely, that sort of thought about shopping our own wardrobe and loving the stuff that
you already
have.
And actually, that's really great, isn't it?
Yeah. She's amazing. She's really good.
Husband put on his rugby shorts from school yesterday. I'm like, oh, good on you. I'm like, good on you that you can fit into your school shorts. I don't know what that says, but there is something really amazing. Like, oh, yeah, when is that from? Oh, it's from the first time around or from,
Yeah, totally.
Because the 90s is back. That was my era. Well,
It's difficult, isn't it, with something like this? We aren't going to reach any neat conclusions because there are none to be had.
Except for humans are amazing. Yes. Like, humans have historically stepped up to enormous challenges before. We can do this. So I don't think that people need to feel despair.
Yeah, I think that's a real shift, isn't it, in mindset, that this is a taking positive action rather than feeling defeated, which
completely.
I think could perhaps be the default of, this is so big, I can't do anything, and rise to the challenge.
As a community, I think that kind of feeling of individual stuff, again, that shift towards behaving as a group of humans coming together, is a really powerful thought.
Three things to finish up on. Number one, where can people find you?
Trashplastic.com.
Although now we've known that it's got
vain.
It's a bit tired. But still.
Yeah, Trashplastic.com.
It's still a really, really good resource.
And Trashplastic on Instagram.
Yeah. Anything you want to shout about, well, all of this, you want to shout about all of the stuff we've just talked about. But is there, go to Extinction Rebellion website and check out some of the stuff they're doing.
Definitely.
And I always ask people if they could have an honest conversation with one person, who would it be? Could be a troll, a celeb, a friend, a younger version of yourself.
Could I guarantee that they would listen?
Yes. That's kind of the joy of make-believe, I guess.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't listen though, would he?
No.
And then I am always aware that my guests have had to be super honest during this and I haven't. So I've added a new silly bit. And I'll be honest, I don't like burrata, which, given that I'm talking to a vegan, feels madly off. But it is very fashionable. It's a very fashionable cheese and I just can't get on board with it, guys. I would much rather stick to mozzarella. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm Chloe Telford and this was the lovely Sophie Tate and this has been the Honestly Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe and tell your mates about it. Thank you. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Honestly Podcast with me, Chloe Telford. As ever, I am so grateful to our sponsors, Marks & Spencer's, for working to enable me to have such important and honest conversations. If you found this week's episode interesting, which I hope you did, I'd love to know your thoughts, so please do give me a rating or review, and even better, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's episode delivered straight to you. Oh, and one final thought. I'm always looking for inspiration for new subjects, so if you've got any topics that you'd like me to cover that I haven't done already, please do send your suggestions my way. You can either leave a comment below on iTunes or hop over to Instagram and send me a DM, and I'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much.